Local county boards of health cover a lot of territory beyond funding birth control and offering flu shots.
Public health encompasses everything that you touch.
That's Dr. Michael Goins. He's a Wilmington optometrist, and he's been on the New Hanover County Board of Health on and off for 17 years.
We do travel immunizations, restaurant inspections, make sure people are taking their tuberculosis medicine. We're involved in clinics, septic tank evaluations. We spray for the mosquitoes.
In North Carolina, a local board of health is made up of 11 people. It's voluntary and they're not paid. State law requires very specific people: a physician, a dentist, an optometrist, a veterinarian, a nurse, a pharmacist, an engineer, a county commissioner, and 3 members of the general public.
Historically, the Board of Health has had the ability to make difficult decisions without politics involved.
In the past, some of those decisions included removing outhouses from properties, implementing smoking bans, and requiring bicycle helmets. The director of a county health department reports directly to the Board of Health, and the Board of Health answers to county commissioners. But it's independent because it's protected by state policies, until last summer. House Bill 438, signed by former Governor Bev Perdue, allows the Board of Commissioners many new options to change the way social service and local health departments operate. One big change is that commissioners can now assume the role of boards of health. The law isn't required, but if commissioners do take this route, they have to set up an advisory board with the same makeup of a board of health. But that advisory board is different. Jill Moore is with the UNC School of Government and specializes in public health law.
A regular board of health would have definite powers and duties under the law. One of the most powerful powers of a local board of health is that it can make rules for public health within its jurisdiction. An advisory committee might be able to suggest that action be taken, but wouldn't have the authority to actually take it.
In 2011, Moore began researching the bill and the impact it could have on local public health departments. Champions of the bill say it's more efficient, that consolidating agencies could mean better services for consumers. Former State House Representative Carolyn Justice was instrumental in drafting and passing 438.
I think some of the concern is that these departments would then become political footballs and that decisions would be made based on politics and not what was best for the citizens. I don't know of any commissioner who came and lobbied me for this bill who wanted to take away services to people.
Those who are not fans of 438 say the system's working fine as is, and they worry about county commissioners tossing around those political footballs.
They would have the ability to accept or reject programs based upon their philosophical points of view. And it might not be as science-based, might be more of a knee-jerk response of, I just don't think we need to do that.
Goins points to an example from last spring. New Hanover County Commissioners turned down a $9,000 state grant earmarked to supply the county health department with intrauterine devices, a long-term form of birth control. Here's audio from that meeting, former Commissioners Rick Catlin and Jason Thompson.
The answers that I got were that there were patients that were not being responsible with the existing family planning that was being offered, and that this would provide a more reliable solution for those people, and I had an issue with that.
So we're taking irresponsible patients, and
that's the way it was described. That's what it was described to me, and I have a fundamental philosophical issue with using taxpayer dollars to fund someone's irresponsibility.
Voters were outraged.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because isn't that a perfect example?
Again, former Representative Carolyn Justice.
The commissioners moved in a direction that was not satisfactory to its citizens. The citizens spoke. The commissioners changed their mind.
New Hanover County commissioners went back to the table and accepted the grant.
You know, when county commissioners make a bad decision, citizens will let them know about that. They don't stay in office very long when they make really bad decisions.
Catlin won a seat in the state house, as did Chairman Ted Davis. Commissioner Jonathan Barfield kept his seat, but Jason Thompson lost his. Jill Moore with the UNC School of Government says because 438 is so new to counties, there's no data to compare new and old models. The state's three largest counties, Mecklenburg, Wake, and Guilford, can already exercise this law because they have populations greater than 425,000. 438 removed that population threshold. Moore says analyzing those examples isn't helpful either.
The counties that we were comparing that have the consolidated model were just too different from the rest of the state to reach any good conclusions.
Pender County is now moving closer to implementing 438. In New Hanover, county staff is getting ready to present the new Board of Commissioners with a proposal to create a review committee to research and weigh the options of 438. Right now, there's no study measuring the impact this bill could have on social service departments. Moore says the final report from the UNC School of Government study will be released in May. But until then, no one really knows if 438 is actually more efficient and cost-effective. Sarah Wood, WHQR News.